God bless you all this morning. Let us rise and we'll open our service with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful to be able to be in your house this morning, Father, and for those that are at home and abroad, Father, streaming this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would be a blessing and that your presence would be felt wherever your word is heard this morning is our heart's desire. And we just ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And just a few of us here, so we're just going to sing Only Believe. And those that are tuned in, enjoy the service. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible.
In prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here, knowing that even though the devil has sent this snowstorm to try to keep people away, yet, Lord, we know that people everywhere around the world don't have the same weather. So, Father, we're streaming regardless. And, Lord, we just ask you to bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to see you. And this morning we're looking at Satan's Eden number 207, The Power to Conceive the Word. And this would be part one. I had to break it into two sermons because it was like 32 pages long. So we just have 14 today. And a promise of God to us for those who have been born again is that we are given power to conceive the word. And we find in our text the story of how Mary conceived life by believing the promise, which is the word, given to her that is found in Luke chapter 1. So Luke chapter 1, 35, we read, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." We know that God's Son inherited the name of the Father, as we as sons also inherit his name as well. That it only makes sense to come to the Lord in his name, because that is your name that we as sons inherit. So we read from thy word, or his word, how that Mary believed the words of God spoken to her, and upon believing those words she conceived life, which was eternal life in her womb, which life was the life of God, which brought forth his only begotten Son. We see here a divine principle that we are ourselves wish to receive, in that when we receive the God's promises, which is his word, we too shall conceive eternal life within us.
So just think about that, because if you didn't receive the word, you wouldn't receive his life. But we have a promise: if you receive his word, then you receive his life. So that's tremendous for us to think about. It gives us peace and gives us rest. Just think of that: when we receive his word, we are actually receiving his own eternal life within us. So, we wish to understand this principle, and may it bear fruit in our lives. Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Modern events made clear by prophecy. When a baby is conceived in the womb of a mother, when that one cell goes in there, another cell builds on top of that.
It's not one cell of a human, the next of a dog, the next of a cat, the next of something else. It's absolutely, straightly human being. And when a man's born of the Spirit of God, he don't inject anything into his life. It's unadulterated Word of God, vindicated for that hour. He takes the full Word of God. He don't put no creed, nothing else into it. It's purely unadulterated, God's Word made manifest among us. So that's beautiful. From the message way back, he said, now, we don't have to be smart. We don't have to be educated. We don't have to, we just have to believe. We have to humble ourselves and empty ourselves for God to manifest himself through us. Empty up yourselves. Get yourselves out of the way. The biggest enemy that you have is yourself. Now, you believe God. Do you do it? Now, if God, our Father, which is the Holy Ghost, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost, we know that. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And if that Holy Spirit can come into you and I and perform the very life that Christ lived, where's your place of doubt? You must be born again. He said, what do you do with a baby soon as it's born? You wash it. Is that right? And as soon as a man has died to himself and is born of God, he's washed by the washing of water by the Word. Amen. If it says Jesus' name and you say Jesus' name, it says you must be born again and you say the same thing, ever what God says, you're washed by that water of the Word. Amen. Now, you're ready now for life. You're ready to start out now. Now you're born anew, born of the family of God with a new parent. Yes, sir, your tutors used to be. Now you got tutors that is now. You got a new parent. You can't be born without having a parent. So if you're born in the brotherhood of the church, that's what you've got. If you're born in a creed, well, there you are. But if you're born in God, conceived in his word, you got a new parent, and that's God. Ready to make his word known among us, with you, speak it through you. Oh, a new parent, that parent is God. He's ready to take his word now. He's already spoke and lay it in you and make it come to life. See? Now you have your training now. You're ready to go into training now, child training. That's the hard part. When you think you ought to do this and the word cuts you around, shows you something else, why, they believe that over. They don't make any difference what you believe. Here's what God said. You must be about your Father's business. Now you're getting born again. Now you're getting right, getting straightened out. You have a new parent. So we just think now, and we all know this, but God is actually our Father. And we shouldn't look at him as being just some strange thing out there. He's actually our Father. From Mark of the Beast, we read, what is it by a mother? The little egg lays there, the little seed lays there waiting for the male, and as soon as the male germ comes, the male germ rushes too quick, and what is it? A blood cell. It opens itself up.
Oh, God, can you hear and understand what I mean? God, it opens itself, and around this forms a little pocket of blood. On the inside of this puts this little egg to life, and in there begins to come forth. In there brings life. We are conceived by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God comes into our hearts, and brings a new person, Christ Jesus. Old things die. And if you reject to hear it and just keep, well, my preacher said this, that, or the other, and you refuse to have life, you become sterile. Then you come to a place where you can't have any more children. You're sterile. You're in reproach. You can't have children. And if you grieve the Spirit of God too many times, you are sealed. You don't hear it anymore. The first time you hear it, oh, my, you let your hair grow out. You act like ladies. You didn't wear these things. You act like a lady, you act like a man. You kept your house in order, you have done those things. But then all at once it begins to move around. What was it? You never let the life come in and go to work. You died prematurely. That's right.
So we read in the scripture, John, 1 John 3 and 1, Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has his hope in him purifies himself. How do you purify yourself? By the washing of the water of the word. How does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And from who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham said, then when a man is born again from heaven, he becomes a spirit babe in Christ. And then when his robe of flesh is dropped, there is a natural body, theophany, a body not made with hands, neither born of a woman that we go to. Then that body returns back and picks up the glorified body. That's the reason Jesus went to hell when he died and preached to the souls that were in prison. He turned back into that theophany. Oh, marvelous, thank God. And so we see in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle, we have another one. See, we have bypassed that to come straight from God, and the attribute to be in the flesh, to be tempted and tested by sin like Adam. But when testing of his word is over, then we are taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundations of the world. See, that's why it's so important to always, when you hear that still voice of God's word, you just acknowledge it and come in under obedience to it. It is the word there that we skip to come right around here to be tempted and tested. Now think about that. All right? And if we'd have come through that, there'd have been no temptation. We'd know all things. That's the reason Jesus knowed all things, because he was the word before he was flesh. Then we become the word. Here we are formed to the word image to be a partaker of the word, feed on the word, by being predestinated since the beginning. You see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning when you started your journey? Many of you remember it. You joined this church and joined that church and tried this and that and nothing satisfied. That's right. But one day you just recognize it right. So there are three things then that Brother Branham states in this paragraph that I'd like to examine by the Word of God. In these three statements, we have the entire life cycle of the elect son or daughter of God played out. In fact, his statements, before he lays out the process of life cycle, defines what that life cycle is all about. He says, when a man is born again from heaven, he becomes a spirit babe in Christ. So then we see that we go that he will be speaking of that spiritual babe and the life cycle that it must go through in order for it to enter into that eternal life. Just as he already spoke of the physical life cycle of the natural baby in order for it to come forth into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Brother Branham uses the word a spirit babe, which suggests to us that what we have gone through in the natural cycle of life, we must also go through in the spiritual life. Now, just before he said these words, he said the same thing. He said, think of a little baby. So he's asking us to picture in our minds a little baby. Then he begins to explain about the process of life cycle that this little baby must go through in the natural. He says, you can take a woman, no matter how evil she is, when she is pregnant and fixing up to be a mother, watch before that baby is born. I don't care how cruel that woman is, she gets real kind. There's something about her, seems godly, to see a little mother fixing to become mother by the baby. What is it? That little body, now, it's not alive yet. See, the only thing is, it is just a mesh, just flesh and muscle. That little jumping, that's just muscles jerking. But when it comes forth from the womb, God breathes a breath of life into it, and then he screams out. See, just as sure as there is a natural body being formed, there is a spiritual body to receive it as soon as it gets here. So we see that Brother Branham is painting a picture by words of the life cycle that we must go through in order to be born again. He says it is like a physical birth in the sense that without the spirit entering the child, it would be stillborn and it would be dead. And the same is true of this body without the new birth. You can be an elect seed child of God, but until you receive the spirit from above, you might just as well be a pile of jumping nerves and muscles. Now, I know of people who claim to believe this message, and they say, well, we are just a bunch of nerves and muscles, so it's all right to abort that child. But wait a minute. That is a prepared body for you to enter. That body was prepared for you to inhabit. Then to abort the child cuts off the life of that child, giving it no place to enter. In other words, that life can never fulfill itself. I think to do that, Jesus said you'd be better off tying a rope around your neck and tying it to a millstone and throwing it into a river. For whatsoever you have done unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Is that not what he said? So you are never going... You're never given that child a chance to express the life that he was ordained to have. He tells us that at the point of birth, the spirit of the child is waiting to enter the child, and thus is its presence there waiting to enter that body. It creates an atmosphere for the mother to live in, creating an atmosphere of expectation, or we could call it a welcoming spirit. Therefore, there are three things I want to point out here this morning that Brother Branham is laying out for us to understand. And they are, number one, Brother Branham said, we bypass our theophany, our word body, in order to come to the world to be tested by the word. So we're going through the time of testing. See, we have bypassed that to come straight from God, the attribute to be flesh, to become flesh, to be tempted and tested by sin like Adam did. That is the state that we're in here in this flesh. He then shows us how it begins in the womb. Number two, then he speaks of our journey back to the image of the Son of God. How that a little spark of light starts us on our road back to the image that we were ordained to be manifested in. You see, that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning when you started your journey, and many of you can remember it. You joined the church and you joined that church and tried this and tried that and nothing satisfied. That's right. But one day you just recognized it. And then number three said, when this robe of flesh is dropped, there's a natural body, a theophany, a body not made with hands, neither born of a woman, that we go to. Then that body returns back and picks up the glorified body. Then that body returns and picks up the glorified body. Then we become the Word. We become the Word. Here we are formed to the Word image to be a partaker of the Word, feed on the Word, by being predestinated since the beginning. Now the Apostle Paul said the same thing. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15:35, he said, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. Now here Paul tells us that it is all like planting and harvesting. He says the body you plant into the ground is not the same as what comes up forth out of the ground. He says that little seed that goes into the ground has in it a life, and it is that life that comes forth, up from the ground into manifestation as to what life lays within the seed. And he recognized what happens with the human body, and in the resurrection he continues, but God giveth it the body, as it hath pleased him to every seed his own body. Now, this is important for us to see here because every seed is given in its own body. Therefore, elect seed have one kind of a body that they will come up in, and in non-elect seed also must have another kind of a body they will come up in. Now, one comes up incorruptible and the other corruptible. One that is impossible for it to die, while the other one very capable of dying. All flesh is not the same flesh, he says, but there is one kind of flesh another of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Now pay close attention to this next verse. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Notice he is identifying two different kinds of bodies. There are earthly bodies and heavenly bodies. Then he speaks of the heavenly. But the glory, he says, that word is doxa, and it speaks of the celestial being in a body is capable of having a glory, of having an opinion, an assessment, and judgment, which is the same word that Jesus used in which he speaks of the elect only receiving. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the terrestrial is another. And that word, another, is heteros, meaning of a different nature altogether. Now, the King James Version translators injected the word glory here in speaking of the terrestrial, but is nowhere to be found in the original. In fact, the literal translation is this. There are bodies made for celestial beings, which are capable of reflecting God's glory. And there are bodies made for the earth, which are not. For they have another nature within them, a nature which in no way reflects God's glory. So you see, we're ordained. God ordained his sons to reflect himself, but he didn't ordain the other. So they don't receive a body that's commensurate with the word. They'll get a body to be burned up. Okay? Now Paul continues by saying, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. In other words, that's why if it was spiritual first, we wouldn't have bypassed our theophany. We would have come, you know, to the earth with full knowledge and everything else, then there'd be no testing, okay? But so we came natural first, and that's what the scripture is telling us. Now, why would Paul make this distinction the way he does? The reason is because that is the way it is. That is why Brother Bram can say we bypassed our theophany. All right? That is why Paul said it also. Paul distinctly tells us that the natural man comes first and then the spiritual man. And that is the order of the resurrection. The man is given a body in this earth for the testing of the word. If there is no word in him, it simply goes back to the dust from which it came. That's why there's two bodies. Okay? We receive the word, we become the word in a spirit and receive that body that's commensurate to the word. But if you don't receive the word, you came forth and you go back the same way and you're just... So, however, if that body had received the Spirit of God by the new birth, then that person receives their spirit body when their soul leaves the body of the dust. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Thus, Paul is making, and listen, our first man was our flesh, okay? But our new creation has a body commensurate with it, okay? In other words, God says, I have already, you know, those who I foreknew, I've already glorified. So, all right. Thus, Paul makes a distinction between the earthbound man and the elect son or daughter of God. He continues to clarify this by the same.
As is the earthy, earthbound, such are they also that are earthy, earthbound, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly.
And I just think it's so phenomenal just to think about. They're of the earth, they're earthbound, they can't get past that, okay? Therefore, you can see Paul letting us know that there will be two groups. Those who are made only of the earth, and that is their final destination, and their cannon fodder, so to speak. Ashes for the regeneration of the earth. But notice the other group are made for a heavenly purpose, and he continues to tell us that the cycle of life of these are not only saying, as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. See, so our foundation is the heavenly, and we are given the heavenly, okay? In other words, we become what God saw as before the foundation of the world. But notice Paul clarifies this group by saying that they are the ones who will receive a change. Oh, that's such a glorious thing, you know, to think about, because it's going to happen, okay? And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's a promise of God. In other words, although while here on earth we have what appears to be an earthly appearance, yet we have a change coming. And notice verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Paul is telling us we cannot stay in this earthly condition to inherit the kingdom of God. And yet we are ordained to inherit it. Then something must happen to that appearance that we have. And that thing which must happen is that we must be changed in our body. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And now Paul will begin to tell us how the change will take place. He says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the life cycle has been presented to us. We are born into this world for testing of the word. Only the elect of God are given something within themselves that will receive that word, because only the elect seed are ordained to be able to understand that word and believe it. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't believe the word. Now, Acts 13:48, and when the Lord heard this, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life did what? They believed. So you can't get away from it. So let's just read from paragraph 115, Brother Bram's sermon, Who is this Melchizedek? He said, everything in three. The natural births in three. What's the first thing happens to a woman having a baby? What breaks first? Water. What breaks next? Blood. That's the next process, life. Or what's the next process? Life. Water, blood, and spirit. What happens to the plant? It rots. What's the first thing? Stock. What's the next thing? Tassel. What's next? Shuck. Then the grain comes out of that, just as three stages of it, it gets to the grain. That's exactly. God vindicates that. That's always been right. God vindicates it to be the truth. It shows plainly that predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. Did you get it? Let me say that again. The predestinated is the only ones that's considered in redemption. People think they are, but the real redemption is those that are predestinated, because the very word redeem means to bring back. Is that right? To redeem is something. To redeem anything is bring it back to its original place. Hallelujah. So it's only the predestinated will be brought back, because the others didn't come from there. See? Bring back. And from Luke 23:29, for behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. If that isn't a condition of the world today, they would rather have a dog or a cat than to be a mother of a child. And remember, the woman in the Bible always typed the church. Notice the scripture says, and they say, blessed is the womb that is buried. Not we say, but they will say. They don't want the responsibility that goes with childbearing. 1 John 5:7, we read, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear record or bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified in his Son. So notice there's water, blood, and spirit, which are the three stages of life. And God is perfected in threes, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These are not three, but it says they are one. There are also three comings. The first, to bleed and die. The second, we meet him in the air. And the third, he comes with his saints. Then there are three exoduses under the pillar of fire, where God takes us out from. And then there is a wandering in the wilderness of sin. And finally, an entering into. And then there are three poles, okay? In redemption, we have three stages of life of the believer. First, there is justification, then sanctification, and finally, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The earth is cleansed three times, the first by water, the second by man's fire, and the third time by God's holy fire. Then we have the process whereby our faith moves into action, which Paul states there's faith and hope and love. These three, and he tells us the greatest of these is love. Then in 1 Peter, he mentions praise, honor, and glory, which are the three stages of our growth process into sons. You have, as the scripture says here, water, blood, and spirit. Three stages of life. Now, in order for life to come forth in the natural, the woman must receive the seed first. Then the process begins. Then the life comes forth, conception, transformation, and identification. And so we're going to close the sermon at this point and pick up next time on these words, conception, transformation, and identification. And I want you to be thinking how we go from conceiving, then we begin to transform, and then we see him as he is. The Bible says we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. So let's just bow our heads in prayer at this time. Gracious Father, we know it's a shortened sermon because I had too many things to say, and so I broke it into two sermons. But Father, I want the people to understand that we are actually being transformed, and we're actually getting ready to go home. And it's not just a hope-so, it's a no-so, because God's Word said it, and we've received it, and therefore we've received the very life of God in us, and he's changing us. And so, Lord, we're just thankful for this, and we ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.